Our scripture reading this evening is taken once again from the book of Nehemiah. We read this evening a portion of chapter 3, then the first part of chapter 4. Our main focus this evening is really on the third chapter, where we have a role of the workers, people of God, who were ready, willing, began the great work of building the walls of the city of Jerusalem. We'll read the first 17 verses of chapter 3 and the first 6 verses of chapter 4. And it's the third chapter that really demonstrates the truth of verse 6 of chapter 4, the last part, for the people had a mind to work. And in chapter 3, we see them working side by side, shoulder to shoulder, doing the work of the Lord. We begin reading in Nehemiah chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mia. They sanctified it unto the tower of Hananel. And next unto him builded the men of Jericho. And next to them builded Zakur, the son of Imri. But the fish gate did the sons of Hasaneah build, who also laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. And next unto them repaired Meremoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Koz. And next unto them repaired Meshullam, the son of Berechiah, the son of Meshezabel. And next unto them repaired Zadok, the son of Baana. And next unto them the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of the Lord. Moreover, the old gate repaired Jehoiada, the son of Paseah, and Meshullam, the son of Besodiah. They laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. And next unto them repaired Melatiah the Gibeonite, and Jadon the Meronothite, the men of Gibeon and of Mizpah, unto the throne of the governor on this side of the river. Next unto him repaired Aziel the son of Harhiah, of the goldsmiths. Next unto him also repaired Hananiah, the son of one of the apothecaries. And they fortified Jerusalem unto the broad wall. And next unto them repaired Raphiah, the son of Hur, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem. And next unto them repaired Jediah, the son of Harumaph, even over against his house. And next unto him repaired Hatush, the son of Hashabniah, Makijah, the son of Haram, and Hashab, the son of Pahath-Moab, repaired the other piece and the tower of the furnaces. And next unto him repaired Shalom, the son of Halohesh, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem, he and his daughters. The valley gate repaired Hanan, and the inhabitants of Zanoah. They built it and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof, and 1,000 cubits on the wall unto the dung gate. But the dung gate repaired Malchiah, the son of Rechab, the ruler of part of Beth-Hakkerem. He built it and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. But the gate of the fountain repaired Shalon, the son of Kolhoze, the ruler of part of Mizpah. He built it and covered it, set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof, and the wall of the pool of Siloah by the king's garden, and unto the stairs that go down from the city of David. After him repaired Nehemiah, the son of Azbuk, the ruler of the half part of Bethzur, unto the place over against the sepulchres of David, and to the pool that was made, and unto the house of the mighty. After him repaired the Levites, Rehum, the son of Bani. Next unto him repaired Hashabiah, the ruler of the half part of Keilah, in his part. Then we go to chapter 4. We read the first 6 verses, chapter 4. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth, and took great indignation, and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria, and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. Cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Thus far we read from God's infallibly inspired word. And we see that the truth of that last statement this evening, by his grace, for the people had a mind to work. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we've pointed out previously, Jerusalem was a city that was built upon mountains, large hills, really. And when the walls of that city were destroyed by the army of King Nebuchadnezzar, the walls were not pushed in, but they were pushed out. The stones, massive stones, weighing no doubt hundreds of pounds or more, rolled down, down, down the hills into the valley below, digging furrows through the dirt and the sand, so that from the top, looking down, one could see a field strewn with stones and boulders. And each one of these boulders would have to be hauled up and cleaned, reshaped, fitted back into the wall. In a word, it was a mess. It was a field of devastation. They didn't have large cranes, heavy construction equipment, loaders and such things. We don't read that any of the builders that Nehemiah employed in this work of rebuilding the walls were stonemasons. There may have been some, but we do read of some of their occupations. They were priests. They were Levites, keepers of the temple. Apothecaries, which are druggists, really, or perfume makers. There were merchants, businessmen, civil authorities. Nehemiah, you remember, came to Jerusalem after hearing that the walls of Jerusalem, after many, many years already, were still lying in ruins. And he has appeared now among the people of God. He's issued the call to come, let us build. And the people of God, by the grace of God, have now responded under Nehemiah's firm leadership. We will arise and build. So they strengthened their hands in the God of heaven. And he said, He will, and they said, He will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. This third chapter of Nehemiah's book is one that we might be inclined to simply skip over because it's filled with names that are difficult to pronounce. But nevertheless, this is really a very significant chapter. It would be a mistake and a shame to skip over this portion of God's word. Of course, all scripture is profitable. This chapter too. There's much to be gleaned from this chapter. We have to be somewhat selective in that upon which we focus this evening. But certainly the main point is this, that our covenant God leads his people to be involved in the work of the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. God is pleased to use means, weak, frail means, such as us, in the work of his kingdom. He does so in such a way that he might receive the praise, the glory, but the effort of his children is not forgotten. And our labor is not in vain in the Lord. As we've seen, this is quite an undertaking, a huge project, to say the least. It had to be well organized. It was a necessary project for the sake of God's name, as we saw last time. And it's in this light that this evening we would consider our text under the theme, Nehemiah, the people had a mind to work. And we see that, first of all, that that's demonstrated by this detailed registry. Secondly, manifesting both diversity and unity. And finally, providing a beautiful example. The people who were addressed by Nehemiah responded favorably, you recall. Let's start the work of rebuilding. They pledged themselves to participate eagerly. But it's one thing, of course, to make such a pledge, perhaps on the spur of the moment, but quite another to fulfill that obligation. Talk is cheap. But in this instance, it appears the people of Jerusalem and quite a large surrounding area, the Jews, were ready to take up the work. And they started right away on this monumental task. There was no time to lose. The opportunity had to be seized. And we read in the opening verse of chapter 3 that they went to work. They began the rebuilding. They started at the sheep gate, we read. And in the last verse of chapter 3, we read that they ended at the sheep gate. The building process involved the entire wall and all the gates of the city. We see the great detail that is provided of the workmen and of their work. Such a massive project had to be well organized. Much smaller projects demand organization and leadership. Certainly this one required structure and planning and method. That would be all the more true as we see already in the opening verses of chapter 4 that they would face opposition. The enemies would cause problems. But as long as the planning stage doesn't drag on, for the task must be undertaken immediately. And we get the impression that the work developed in almost a spontaneous manner now. Once the commitment was made and some ground rules were laid down, the people simply got to work. Did their part, pitched in, It was a communal effort. And that's important to realize. The work of the Lord, the work of the kingdom, the work of the church is never the task of one single person, not even a Nehemiah, or of just a few persons, but it's the task of all the people of God. Perhaps that's the most important lesson to be learned from this third chapter when it comes to building the church of God, promoting the causes of His kingdom. We are all, young and old, to be involved voluntarily, spontaneously, wholeheartedly. We have to bear in mind that what we read in this chapter is not simply descriptive, some boring details, but this is normative. It sets a standard. This is the way it ought to work in the church of Christ. Indeed, it is Christ who builds His church. Jesus Himself said, "On this rock I will build my church." But immediately He involved His disciples in the work. It pleases God to use people. The church is built by Christ, but it is done by Him through the joyous, wholehearted involvement of His people. God builds, but He does not absolve us of our respective callings. But He is pleased to work in us and through us. God's work progresses as we who are called unto that work become by His grace enthusiastically involved. As we mentioned, simply looking, glancing at this third chapter of Nehemiah, we would be very tempted simply to brush over it. But really, this is a chapter that we should read with the same reverence and care that we read a chapter like Hebrews 11, where we have another list of names, the so-called heroes of faith, godly examples of men and women going forth by faith. None of these men, women who are mentioned in Nehemiah 3 are found in Hebrews 11. But you may be sure that the same faith that was present in the patriarchs, those mentioned in Hebrews 11, those heroes of faith who wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and out of weakness were made strong, that same faith was living in the hearts and manifest in the lives of the people mentioned in here in Nehemiah chapter 3. It's a role of builders of the wall, God's registry. Here in Nehemiah 3, a registry of faithful builders in the kingdom of God. And as we examine this registry, we see some very important things. We notice, first of all, that the building of the walls under the leadership of Nehemiah began with the example of the high priest. He set down clearly the priority in the opening verse. The religious leaders, the priests, were the one who set the example, led the way. They are the very first ones recorded to bend over, get their hands dirty, taking up the work. The high priest and his brethren rose up, they, so to speak, got the ball rolling under the leadership of Nehemiah. They didn't make excuses trying to remain aloof from the work. We have more important things to be doing in the temple. No, they led the way. And that's proper. It's good. Elders, deacons, ministers are required to do more than just talk. They too must be busy, busy in the work. Their life is to be their sermon. They themselves must take up the work of the church. Notice not only were the priests the ones to set an example of putting spiritual things first in their lives, giving themselves completely to the Lord, but it was first things first. The sheep gate was the priority initially. The high priest built the sheep gate. That's where the work of the wall began. The sheep gate was the place where the animals of sacrifice entered the city, directly related to the temple, directly related to the worship of Jehovah God. At the very heart of the worship of God, they began at the right place. And it's striking that we see both diversity but also unity on display here. Notice the diversity. This third chapter, we see that builders came from many different locations, some considerable distance away from Jerusalem. Only 50% of those listed were residents of the city of Jerusalem. Workers came from Tekoa to the north, from Gibeon to the south, inhabitants of Zanoah, from Mizpah, from Bethzur, from Keilah. And these were men who had obligations at home. They had their own farms to till, their vineyards to prune. They had their workshops. They had their businesses that had to be run. And they could try to argue that they had no direct benefit themselves from the walls of Jerusalem. But they didn't argue that, yeah, this is an important function, a necessary project. This activity, this work of the church is good, but you can't count on me. My calendar's full. I've got my own things to do. I'm too busy for the needs of the church. I have more important things to do. And besides, what am I really going to get out of this? That was not the spirit, the frame of mind and heart of these workmen. They were from every walk of life. Goldsmiths, as we said, apothecaries, druggists or perfume makers, merchants, rulers, Levites. One man even had his daughters helping, working with him. No one made excuses. Well, what can I do? I don't have these kinds of skills. I don't have the muscles that are needed for work like this. I don't know a trowel from a hammer. My hands are soft. These stones are rough. I'm a businessman. I'm a perfume maker. I mix valuable liquids in my lab. What am I supposed to do? No. They set their hands to the work. They were ready to help, to do their part, to learn, to apply themselves. The goldsmith might apply his skill in cutting, reshaping of the stones. Mind you, even daughters helped in the work, ready to be a helper. What an example to us of wholehearted commitment as families to the cause of our God. And notice the spirit of self-denial that's evident in the builders. As we pointed out, merchants left their businesses. Farmers left their fields. The mindset was one of self-denial. Self was pushed into the background. Perhaps that comes out especially in the mention of the dung gate in verse 14. All this work was hard work. But some of the projects would help the people to have encouragement, a good frame of mind. They would be building in some very notable places of the wall, places that had a high profile. The old gate through which Melchizedek entered. There was the wall of the pool of Siloa, and there was the wall over against the sepulchres of King David. There was the tower of the king's house. But on the other hand, there were places that didn't have that high profile, that simply were not glamorous at all. And someone had to build the wall over the dung gate, the sewage canal. What a pleasant job that would have been. Think of Nehemiah making assignments for the portions of the wall that must be built by each family. What about the dung gate? But we read that a man called Malchiah, the son of Rechab, the ruler of part of Beth-Hakkerem, this man stepped forward. He built it. It was dirty work, filthy work, smelly work, unpopular. But this work too had to be done for the glory of God. And he did it. Yes, we see great diversity. But also a spirit of unity of the builders. We read again and again and again. Next to them built. Next to them. We realize that's often not the way it is in this world. In the workplace. In our daily occupations. The man next to us may be one who loafs on the job. We know how easily jealousy or personal ambition or envy can hamper, delay, all but ruin one's project. When workers are at odds, when they refuse to cooperate. But there was, by the grace of God, a unity among his people here. They helped. They encouraged each other. Working side by side. They loved each other and they loved the cause Perhaps you noticed in the section we read that there was an exception to this. Not all were engaged in the work. We read in verse 5 that the nobles of Tekoa would not put their necks to the work of the Lord. Evidently, they were proud, arrogant. They considered themselves too good for this work. It was beneath their dignity. It wasn't perfect. And it never is in the church. But nevertheless, there were many, many builders that had exceptional zeal. And the ordinary Tekoites were mentioned as those who repaired not only one portion of the wall, but they rebuilt more than one section of the wall. Evidently, they came to Nehemiah. We're finished. Where else can we help? Who else can we help? Yes, we did the portion that was assigned to us, but we have more time, more strength. We can do more. And oh, beloved, we see how gracious God is toward the builders. Some of the workers on the wall had a rather checkered background. Some of them were dealing with serious issues at the present time. There was a man called Meremoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Koz, in verse 4. This man's grandfather had been put out of the priesthood for the sin of marrying a stranger's wife. His father had been restored, and now Meremoth, the grandson, is willing and ready to take up the work. We also read of a man called Meshulam. He's there on the job, but it is his daughter who has married one of the sons of Tobiah, one of the enemies. So his daughter-in-law to Tobiah, is reporting every word of Nehemiah back to Tobiah. She's trying to promote the work of Tobiah to hinder, yea, to stop the construction of the wall. So here's a man whose family, at least part of it, was not supporting him, not behind him. That must have been a heavy burden upon him, but he continued in the work. And we see that the sins of the fathers do not prevent God's grace from working the work of the Lord. The troubles and sorrows of the present time do not themselves disqualify one from the work of the kingdom. Very beautifully, we see everyone is involved. People of every rank and file, rulers, nobles, rich, poor, young, old, male, female. The project of rebuilding is done by the entire people. That's what Nehemiah chapter 3 shows us in no uncertain terms. And the Lord honors this work. He sees it. He takes note of it. In his grace, he blesses and rewards it, all in their place with their various abilities. A principle underlies the blessed truth we have again confessed this evening of the communion of saints determines the health, the spiritual welfare, and growth of the church. You can think of a passage like 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where we see the church as the body of Christ compared to our human body. with many members, each one called to function in their proper place. A hand, an eye, an ear, but also a little finger, a little toe. What a beautiful example. We ought to look at ourselves. How are we building? Beloved, we see and must follow the example of forgetfulness of self in the presence of a zeal for the great work of the Lord, the cause of His kingdom, the welfare of His church in the midst of this world, the gospel, the covenant, evangelism, building up, sending forth the word of God, a great work that comes to us. We must be filled with zeal for the work of the church. When the needs of the wall are held before us, the needs of God's people, then self must shrink into the background in the presence of the great work of God's kingdom, the kingdom of His dear Son. Self-denial. Jesus said, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross. Follow me." Are we proud? Like those nobles of Tekoa? I'm too good for that work. I have other priorities. If your honor, if your way, your will, your pleasure is the most important thing to you, don't count on being used of God for any good purpose in the building of His kingdom. Don't count on being involved in anything that really matters. And to build up your home, your marriage, your congregation, the work of the church, be humbled. Go forward in dependence upon our God. What a beautiful example is the unity of the workers. Building in the kingdom of Christ must not be like the building of the Tower of Babel as it was thwarted by the sovereign God. We see there the confusion of tongues, everyone speaking past and through and about each other. The building of God's church on every level is to be characterized by unity, love, peace, from seeking each one to do his own part with the goal of the joining of the wall, each section joined perfectly. The strength of Nehemiah's day was unity. It would have been doomed if the ranks were filled with jealousy or bitterness or accusation or suspicion. Division is the most tragic evil in the life of the church. The sections of the wall must be joined if it's going to be a wall. We see how that works or doesn't work at our southern border with Mexico. Nice sections of wall here and there, but not joined together. Apart from unity, there's no success in building. Too often we may be busy building, busy on our piece of the wall. May take great pride in it. We want it to be tall, thick, better. We may labor with an attitude of pride because many others around us are just not as zealous or as faithful as we are. We may look with our nose in the air at some of the other builders. We don't see the need to work together, to cooperate. We don't see the need that the wall sections be joined. What good is a strong, high section of the wall if it's not connected to the next sections of the wall? What folly. Beloved, it's remarkable that in this third chapter, we constantly read exactly which part of the wall was built by whom. They each built specific sections, and time and again we read the word next. Next to him, so and so built. Next to him, so and so built. Sometimes specified as to the section, the location, special assignments, roofing, towers, difficult corners are specifically mentioned. In verse 10, we read that Jediah, the son of Haramoth, made repairs even over against his house. In other words, the tasks were carefully divided. Special assignments were noted, and some of the people were able to begin work virtually at their doorstep, perhaps across the street from their house. But no one had to build the whole wall by himself. Everyone did only a small part, a section. Some did more than others, yes, but virtually everyone pitched in. Some, like Jediah, just started right outside his own house. Sometimes we don't have to go far to look for work because it's really staring us in the face. All around us, maybe first of all inside our own house. Sometimes we can worry so much about the big picture, the church in general, that we can forget about our own part in the work of the Lord. There are people like that, always speculating about what others should be doing or should not be doing, but at the meanwhile, they're ineffective themselves. Stay focused on the work which the Lord has given us, the piece of the wall that He's placed in front of us, and trust that others are building elsewhere. For by the grace of God, we all have one Master Builder, Christ Jesus, the Lord. And we don't have to worry too much about who else is or is not working. We are not able to oversee the whole work of the Lord. We are called to work faithfully right where the Lord has placed us. That small piece of the wall in front of us is formidable enough in itself. And we have to remain occupied with that, chipping away at it, keep clearing the rubble, putting in new stones. One day that piece of the wall will be finished. And we'll discover that many others too were working hard. Maybe we couldn't see them at the time. They were around the corner, around the bend. They were on their own stretch of the great wall. The work will be done. The whole wall will be finished because Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. Beloved, what a glorious truth. What a privilege. What a high calling to be involved in the work of the Lord, building the walls, building of the church, the kingdom of God. Not that we desire to have a tower or a gate named after us, but we desire that God would use us, weak, feeble, foolish, sinful workers as we are in ourselves, that He would use us to accomplish a glorious purpose in the building of Jerusalem, His church. We would be faithful servants of the Most High God. And so this word of God comes to us, exhorting us today to be busy. Busy at our place on the wall. Busy in the midst of our homes and families. Busy making our marriages strong and steadfast. Busy teaching our children. Busy serving our wife, serving our husband. Spending time with our children and families. Busy in the church, faithful as pastor, elder, deacon, member in the office of believer, faithful in Christian education, faithful at work, doing all that the Master has set before us, magnifying His name in it all. All these mighty works of God, wherever God has placed us, be it at David's gate or at the dung gate. We sang of it earlier, we would be but in a lowly station at God's house, just a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Be it at the sheep gate or at the old gate, whether we're a father, a mother, a husband, a wife, a parent, a pastor, an elder, a deacon, a young person, a child in the church, we stand by the grace of God in one faith, next to each other, shoulder to shoulder. I next to you, you next to me, our labor is not in vain in the Lord. And we must hear the voice of the Master Builder. Come, let us build. Deny yourself. Stand in the unity of the truth. Seek skill and wisdom in the Word of God. And the accomplishment will be sure. The triumph, the city of God will be built, Jerusalem, yea, the new Jerusalem, by God's grace alone will descend out of heaven as a bride prepared for her bridegroom. Beloved, come, let us build. May God give us, as He did those Jews of old, may He give us a mind to work. Amen. Most merciful and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. How precious is Thy truth, every part of it, every word, every jot and tittle, the word of God for our edification. Bless Thy word unto our hearts and lives that we may be equipped, filled with zeal to serve Thee. Here in the place Thou hast given us as builders upon the walls of Zion. Strengthen our faith, we pray. Draw us ever nearer and closer to Thee. We ask this all with the remission of our many sins. In Jesus' name, amen.